chapter number 3. I'd like to finish the last message in this series found in the Gospel of John on the must that the Lord wrote down. You remember the Bible says that He must needs go through Samaria. He found a Samaritan woman that was thirsty by the well. He spoke to her first. I'm glad God's still in the talking business. She responded to Him by faith, left her water pot. She came there going to hell, but she left out with the well. And He must needs go through Samaria. Then He met the most religious man in the Bible. Nicodemus came to Him by night. He said, "You must be born again." Then right after that phrase, we had the third mention. The Son of Man must be lifted up. As a young man sang today, I'm glad He's nailed some things down at the cross. Then the fourth sermon was John 4, where we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But today I'd like to deal with this last phrase found in our Bible, that fifth must. It's found in John's Gospel, chapter number 3, verse 22. John the Baptist has come on the scene now, and so some messengers comes to him and tells him about how Christ is progressing, getting ahead of him in ministry. I love John's reaction. He said in John 3, 22, "After these things came Jesus and His disciples in the land of Judea. There He tarried with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Enon, which means a land of much water, near to Salem, which means a land of much peace, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came to John and said unto him, 'Rabbi,'" which is very respectful, "'He that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and watch this, all men come to him.' John answered and said, 'A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom," speaking of Christ. "But the friend of the bridegroom, which is John the Baptist, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Then this phrase I'm interested in verse 30, He says these words, never forget them, underline it in your Bible, very important. "He must increase, but I must decrease." You may be seated today. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You, so we thank You for this special time together on this of Your Lord's Day. We've come out to respect You, to honor You. We've come here to worship You. Thank You for the young man that has traveled today several miles to be a blessing to this assembly. Thank You for Brother Paul Smith and his ministry as these men have come by. I pray, Lord, You'd bless them and continue to use them for Your honor and Your glory. And God, as I look around here today, oh, how You have so blessed us at Liberty. And I thank You for that. May Christ be exalted in a high and a holy way today. Help us in the Scripture now. If there be one here lost, I pray the good hand of grace would reach down to where they are this morning. May they respond to You by faith. Thank You that You've nailed it to the cross. We'll be careful and honor You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Some of the writers say that along with John 3:16, this is one of the greatest text that is in the Gospel of John. There are many. But as we've dealt with these must, it raises off the pages of our Bible on he must increase, I must decrease. I won't preach long this morning, but I want to share with you three simple thoughts found in this text. First of all, notice the must of it. The must of it. It's simply mentioned twice. He must increase, but I must decrease. I see an urgency there. If there's ever been a day and an hour when there needs to be an urgency in our life that He must increase, but I must decrease, it is this day and this hour. Did you know, young people, any problem that you'd have in school, that He can fix anything if He will just increase and if you will decrease? Some of you here today, you've been married many years. Some of you just got married. There'll be problems that will arise in your marriage, but can I tell you, He can fix anything this morning. America, she stands in shambles pretty much of the culture that we've been accustomed to. But can I tell you that there's no man going to fix America. There's no preacher going to fix it. But there's a God man can fix it. If He would just increase and we would decrease and let Him be the God that He wants to be. And so we notice there is the must of this statement. The expression of it twice it's used. Then notice the examination of it. He did not refer to, I must decrease, so He must increase. But no, the expression of it, He said, He must increase, I must decrease. See, if Christ will get bigger in us, then we will get littler in us. And Christ will become bigger. He must increase, but I must decrease. I wonder, since the day you've been saved, has He increased more than you have in your life? Oh, we need to lift Him high and holy this morning. There is the must of it. There is the expression, the examination. But then notice the exchange of it. That He would get bigger and we would get littler. You know, every time that I've ever had a confrontation in my home, it's not because that He got bigger and I got littler, but it's because I got bigger and He got littler. And so today we see the must in this text. Where is Christ in your life? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Him as your Savior? You say, folk, I want you to notice this one little text on, well, preacher, how can He increase and I decrease? John gave the remedy. Look what he said in verse 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, speaking of Christ and His church. But the friend of the bridegroom, which was John the Baptist, now watch, which standeth. You see that word? It's an ongoing statement. Not that He stood, but He standeth. Then watch the next phrase. And heareth, a continual hearing. Then there's the word again. He rejoiceth. So how does Christ get bigger in our life and we get littler? First of all, we must stand in His presence. Not only must we stand, but we must hear what He's speaking to us. There's nothing like the voice of God. I'm glad He's got a voice that's still speaking in this day and this hour. John said that it's pretty much the formula. If you will standeth and heareth, then you can rejoiceth. I'm glad that there's power in Jesus today. There is the must of this truth. But then secondly, notice the man of this truth. He's talking about Christ. He must increase. You know, as I've said the last couple of weeks, the Lord has particularly been blessing us at Liberty Baptist Church. There's people being saved. My good friend Dan got saved. Now he's Brother Dan. I'm glad he's here this morning. God has added new families. God has smiled upon the church. But there's ever been a day and an hour when we need to get out of the way and let God be big and let God do what only God can do. I can't fix your problems, but honey, I come to tell you there's a God today that can fix all of our troubles and our problems if He would just increase. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we come in Liberty Baptist Church? What a pretty place to go to church. But all this is going to burn up one day. Oh, He must increase. But I must decrease. You know, I had a very high-pressure job years ago. And I found out in that company, if I just let Him increase and I would decrease, God would handle everything I needed in my pathway. Oh, can I tell you, when He increases and we decrease and He gets bigger and we get littler, then He can fight all of our battles. I'm reminded of David when he met Goliath. People was laughing at him, said, "You're no match for him." David, by faith, went out on that battlefield. You say, well, what happened? God was getting bigger. David was getting littler. Young people at school, you ought to let God get bigger. You get littler. Oh, the must of this text, but the man of the text, there's never been nobody like Jesus. Look what it's pinned down now about this man. Verse 31, look at his person. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. John said, this man, there's nobody like his person. Then verse 32, look at his preaching. And when he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. In other words, they thought he was fraudulent. Everybody didn't believe him. Preachers and Christians, you always remember this. Everybody's not going to give you a hand clap. Everybody's not going to cheer you on. Neither did they, our great Savior. But I'm glad it's coming a day when He's got everything written down. We're going to stand before Him, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, it'll be worth it on that day. There John not only spoke of this must, but he spoke of this man. We see this man in his person, this man in his preaching. But verse 33, there's the man in his people. He that hath received his testimony has set his seal that God is true. I looked that word up, what that's really talking about. I really didn't understand that, but it's about God's people. What it's about is when you believe upon Christ, He gives you a peace that passes all understanding. And this seal inside of us gives us that confidence that He is so. Can I tell you, people, there is a God that sent His Son to Calvary to die for the sins of this whole world. And today you, sir, you, ma'am, can be saved by grace through faith. I'm glad I have this seal that's in my soul today with God's people. The man and his person. The man and his preaching. The man and his people. But look what he said in verse 34. The man and his purpose. For he whom God has sent. You say, preacher, does God love me? That verse right there tell you He loves you. Because He sent His Son to die in your place. And in my place. Talking about this man and his purpose. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. I realize we can be filled with the Spirit. We are sealed with the Spirit. We can grieve the Spirit. We can lie to the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit. But he said, Jesus has not been given Spirit by measure. He can do anything. There was nobody like Jesus. I've never met nobody like Jesus. And so we see the must of this text and the man of this text. The man and his people, the man and his purpose. Verse 35, the man and his power, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. You say that's why we're to make much of Jesus. Because he rules everything this morning. He allows things to happen. But you know something? I was reading and listening to an older pastor last night out of the Carolinas. And when he came to this text, he simply said this, that any tragedy and trial in life, if you'll realize there's a sovereign God over it all, and if you will let him increase in your life, let us decrease. Brother Mike, you and I have been together a long time, Brother David, many of you. This young man from Waco today visiting our church, he knows Brother Eddie White, a good friend of mine. They're doing 30 years there at that church for him this morning. And I got to thinking, Brother Kevin, as a young pastor, I felt like I had to be everything to everybody. But now I've noticed the older I get, Miss Sherry, if you come, I'll just make him increase. Let me decrease how he handles every situation. There's nobody like Jesus. You see, there's the must of the text. There's the man of the text. But lastly, there's the me of the text. John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. For sake of time, I want to say this today. I don't know if you caught it or not, but there was a crowd come to John the Baptist in this text, tried to get him stirred up about Jesus. Said, John, we followed you and you baptized a bunch of us, but there's a man. People are following him more. Aren't you jealous? This would fix every pastor in America. He said, no, because he must increase, but I must decrease. Brother Mike, I got to thinking about this last night. I showed Renee this statement a man had made about this verse. And he said he was getting older. He had seen his ministry flourish and God had blessed. And said a young preacher had come by and he was going to hand that church off to that young preacher. And they asked him about it. And he said, I'm so grateful there's somebody will come and progress the cause of Christ because he must increase, but I must decrease. You know, whether a man is pastoring 10. Brother Paul, I drove here one time. It took me eight hours to get to the meeting. Walked in. There's about 12 people there at that revival. That pastor felt so low because he only had 12 people. But you see, it's not a contest. It's no room for jealousy. He must increase, but I must decrease. If he'll just get bigger, we'll get littler. Brother David, Brother Mike, I don't know why this is flooding my memory, but you remember nearly 30 years ago, we sat in a little room. We passed around. Y'all did receipts about what you thought we could take up every Sunday to start our church. Boy, it wasn't a big figure. I think it was $540 or something like that. Me and Brother Mike had met with an architect and sat down over there by that storefront, and he drew the building and he told us this is what it was going to cost. You know what your preacher told Brother Mike? I said, well, the meeting's over. We ain't got that. Let's leave. But I found out I had to decrease. He would increase. God would handle everything I'd ever need. If I just put him where he wants to be, supposed to be. This morning you may be here. He's not your Savior. It'd be a good morning to come by faith, call upon Christ. That young lady, he'd save you today. Young man, he'd save you. Older person, he'd save you. I look around at all these families this morning. Last night, a lot of times with the pressures of this church, I roll and I toss. And I got thinking about this verse God gave me, that he must increase, and I must decrease. Is he bigger in your life this morning than he's ever been? If not, the Bible said if we'd draw nigh to him, he'd draw nigh to us. Miss Sherry's going to play. Maybe in your life you need him to become bigger in your situation. If she plays, I'd like to open this altar this morning. Would you come and pray? Just ask God to help you with what you need. If you're here and you've never been saved, you come. I'll pray with you. Others will pray with you if you want us to. But he must increase. I must decrease. Every point of my life, he must get bigger. Shine the brightest and lifted the highest. Would you come this morning? Whatever you need in your life, would you come? I'm done preaching. Would you come?